Chapter 30. Sensation in the Orient Cafe. Outside the post office, Bobby and Frankie looked at each other and laughed.
"She's been working at my father's vicarage all the time," said Bobby. "Now I see why Bassington French was so amused. Come on, Marchbolt's the next place for us."
"Wait a minute," said Frankie. "We must get Badger's business sorted out. After all, he did save my life."
She opened her bag and took out a handful of £5 notes.
"Give these to him and tell him to pay the people he owes money to and that Father will buy the garage and put him in as manager."
"All right," said Bobby. "I'll deal with Badger. You go and get the car."
5 minutes later, they were driving out of Chipping Somerton. It was getting late when they stopped outside the vicarage gate. A slim figure was standing on the doorstep.
"Moira," cried Frankie, "what on earth are you doing here?"
"The same thing that has brought you, I expect." "You have found out who Evans is?" asked Bobby.
Moira nodded.
"Let's go somewhere and talk. There's something I must tell you before we go into the house."
"All right," said Bobby, moving unwillingly away from the door.
"But why?"
Moira stamped her foot impatiently.
"You'll see when I tell you. Oh, do come. There's not a minute to lose."
They gave in. About halfway down the main street was the Orient Cafe. The three of them went in and sat down at a table in the corner. A tired waitress brought them coffee.
"Now then," Bobby said.
"I hardly know where to begin," said Moira. "But in the train going to London, I went along the corridor and..."
She stopped. Her seat faced the door and she leant forward, staring outside.
"He must have followed me," she said.
"Who?"
said Frankie and Bobby together.
"Bassington French," whispered Moira. "He's outside. I saw him with a woman with red hair."
"Mrs. Cayman," said Frankie.
She and Bobby jumped and ran to the door. They looked up and down the street, but neither Mrs. Cayman nor Roger Bassington French were in sight. Moira joined them.
"Has he gone?" she asked, her voice shaking. "Oh, do be careful. He's dangerous, horribly dangerous."
"He can't do anything as long as we're all together," said Bobby, leading the way back to the table. "Go on with what you were telling us, Moira."
He picked up his cup of coffee. Frankie, sitting down, lost her balance and fell against him, and the coffee poured over the table.
"Sorry," said Frankie.
She reached across to the next table, which had glass bottles containing oil and vinegar on it. She emptied the contents of the vinegar bottle into Bobby's cup and began to pour the coffee from her cup into the now empty bottle.
"Have you gone mad, Frankie?" asked Bobby. "What the devil are you doing?"
"Taking a sample of this coffee for Dr. Arbuthnot to analyze," said Frankie.
She turned to Moira.
"The whole thing came to me as we stood up at the door just now. You put something in our cups when you sent us running to the door to look for Bassington French. Mrs. Nicholson, or Templeton, or whatever you like to call yourself."
"Templeton?" cried Bobby.
"Look at her face," cried Frankie. "If she denies that's who she is, then ask her to come to the vicarage and see if Mrs. Roberts recognizes her or not."
Bobby did look. He saw that face, that lovely, delicate face, changed completely by terrible anger. She took a pistol out of her handbag, but Bobby managed to push it upwards as she pulled the trigger, and the bullet passed over Frankie's head and buried itself in the wall of the Orient Cafe. With a wild scream, the waitress ran out into the street.
"Help! Murder! Police!"